Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I am and a man is who I am. I am an...
That's too high, darling. I did say that.
Hello. Hello, my darling. Are you there?
Hello, Anna. Are you there? Yeah.
Anna Crilly. One Anna to another.
Well, yes. Good afternoon, Anna. Darling.
Was that Gnashanu? Is that
Gnashanu? Man.
Is that, because you travel in Tibet a lot. Is that Tibetan? I feel like I've eaten Gnashanu once. I'm violently sick.
Yes, it's sort of mints and mint.
Like minty mints.
Minty mints. And you can smear it on a cracker.
You can, but should you?
Did you? Is that the problem was?
Well, I, of course, when I was travelling back in the day, I did a lot. When I was running from my fourth husband, Denny Golightly, I went to Tibet for a while and we tried some Gnashanu. But that was sort of fed out of a man's hand. I think they very much frowned upon it, to be honest.
And of course, Nigella does a wonderful version.
Oh, fuck. What's that?
Yeah.
Is that a sort of sweet version?
It's very much like sort of a colonic. Have you ever watched Nigella?
I've watched her from afar, if you know what I mean, but I've never seen the program. Mm. There was a year or so when I was convinced she was me. It was not a good year. You know, I was convinced she was me from the future. It was a very confusing time for me.
So she does a wonderful cooking program, but of late she has turned to meals from your bottom, meals from your asshole.
Really?
And one of them was Gnashanu made through colonic.
Gnashanu? I think earlier you said Gnashanu.
Well, there's two versions. There's the Middle Eastern version, of course, and then there's the Southeastern Asian version.
So it
depends which one you're talking about.
So what, she eats the food, she expels the food, she cooks the food?
She eats the food, and then it's almost like a dance, actually. It churns around inside her small intestine.
And is she dancing then, at the same time?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I imagine very seductive. You know.
And then one of her husbands extracts through a tube and it comes out straight onto the plate.
Oh, lovely. Like a sort of, like one of those icing bags.
Yes. But yes, like a bag. Sort of Mr. Whippy.
So you're with your husband, Will. Have the two of you ever Gnashanu'd in that sense?
I've had Gnashanu done to me.
Right.
And interestingly, the lady who died from a heart attack not long after, she actually said to me, "Oh, I've just seen a parasite go down the tube."
Oof.
A parasite, apparently. She said, "Oh, I've just seen it go past." And she said, "Have you been to Thailand ever?" And I said, "Yes, I have, but not for 20 years." And she said, "It could have been in your stomach for 20 years.
Christ.
Mm.
Doing all that time.
But Anna, to be honest, it seems unlikely, doesn't it? It sounds a bit like it was sort of not true.
It could be a scam. It could just be someone who enjoys a good narrative.
I think that's probably it. B.
Like Dominic Cummings. Sorry, I had to get political.
Oh, no.
I know.
Come on. It'll all be over.
Anyway, do you feel that parasite in any way, this last thing I'll say on this, do you think it in any way affected your sort of ability to act or not act?
It's certainly stayed with me. Mm. Often when I feel a sort of sense of rejection, which in our industry, obviously, Anna, as you know, is quite regular.
It's about one for one for me. For every one audition, I get one rejection.
Right.
Roughly.
That's at least better than two for one.
Oh, God.
It's not like you're laughing
twice at an audition.
Yes.
Well, they can be very mean casting directors, and sometimes they'll sort of go, "Oh, no, sorry, thanks, but, you know, not for us," or whatever. And then they'll herd you out of the room and you'll be outside, you know, feeling absolutely wanting to tear out your own heart. And then suddenly they'll pop out and go, oh, sorry, do you mind just popping back in again? We just want to see you again. Then you go back in. Oh, this is it. And then they go, no, still no. Fuck. Absolute fuckers. Yeah. But then they've been there all day, you know, drinking coffee. They've lost their minds by that. If you go to the station any time after 11:30 in the morning, you're basically entering an asylum.
Anna, you'll understand this sentiment. Have you ever felt like pressing record on your phone, on your sort of dictaphone or something?
Yes.
And popping the phone down in the room somewhere, and then when you leave, accidentally leaving your phone behind, so that 20 minutes later you can knock on the door, pop back in and say, I'm so sorry, I forgot my phone. And then you could listen to the conversation that they had about you once you'd left the room.
That's a very good idea. Have you done it or just thought about it?
I haven't done it, but it'd be quite mentally unhealthy, wouldn't it?
Ideas are like plays. Once they've been imagined, they have to be performed or, you know, a fairy dies. You should definitely go and do that, I think. If we ever get an audition.
If we ever get one again.
But what would be very likely.
What would be the worst thing that you could hear?
About yourself?
When you left that phone and you listened to the record, what's the worst? So for me, if the rumour went around, Anna Crilly, have you heard, you know how greedy she is? Like that would be being known as greedy pig.
Well, I mean, greedy with my performance, fuck, yes. You know, I wanted
greedy around food.
But greedy about food. So you went in, did your thing, walked out. Thank you very much, Anna. Thanks for coming. Lovely to see you. Then you get the tape, listen back. Gosh, she likes a grub, doesn't she? She likes a that one. Wow, no. That would hurt. What about this? What about this? You listen to the tape back and what you hear, you walk out, there's a moment's silence and then just, what an unpleasant woman. Wouldn't that be awful? Someone just turns to the other, what an unpleasant person. They were rather, weren't they? I think I'd, you know what? I think I'd want to die. I don't think I could. If they said, oh, they weren't very good, you know, it would hurt. If they just said, what an unpleasant person. And the worst thing is they'd be right.
Absolutely. I don't know. Would it be unpleasant or would it be about your ability? What would be worse? Like, I imagine if you were just sort of known, like, this was from years ago, the greedy pig thing, but yeah. If you were sort of
but
in
you
those
were known
days,
as a greedy pig.
But like when we were in our 20s, yes. All those moons ago, Anna, and we're all sort of courting and, you know, not you and I. And just imagine like that sort of around Brooks Bar or something in Edinburgh Festival. Just, oh, there goes Anna Crilly, the gritty pig. I imagine in, you know, in the sort of social stuff, but in a casting situation, the worst thing I think you could hear on that tape would be... Something about, does she know that her eyes make her look sort of piggy? Or it would be pointing something out that you had never known about your appearance before. And then probably...
Does she think she's pretty? Do you think she realises she walks like that?
Or does she know how overweight she is?
Does she realise how old she looks, do you think?
Or... Do you think if she lost about 2 stone, she wouldn't be nearly as bad an actor as she is now?
Oh.
Something like that. That would be... But what would kill it for Anna? What would just make you go, right, I'm not in this industry anymore?
I'm never acting again. Well, I mean, I couldn't, you know, you might as well say, I'm going to stop breathing or I'm going to stop letters to the Prime Minister. Neither of which I intend to stop. They're mainly just greetings cards. But what I think would be the thing that really made me have to really stop and go, hang on a minute, maybe this career isn't for me. I mean, you know, we're nearly 60, aren't we? But, you know, we're still, well, I am.
Yeah.
We, I mean, me. I think what would stop me would be if someone said, I didn't believe her.
Yes, that is the worst thing.
I didn't believe her.
Yeah.
Well, I was definitely here. I hate it when directors say that. Do you ever get that when a director comes up to you? And the worst thing is when they sort of touch you gently on the shoulder as if, like, I'm about to give you some very bad news. Sorry, I didn't quite believe that. and you go, fuck off. Don't you
dare. Or you do, and then you storm off. Or the best one for me was there was one situation I had at work on set. It was a show that we were doing. There was lots of male members of cast, but quite pointedly, only two female members of cast.
Oh, boy.
And the director turned to me and said, I'd just done my bit. And the director said to me, Anna, what would Mel do? How would Mel have done that? As in the Mel other female Sue. Member of...
Oh.
Well, funnily enough, Anna, yes, it was actually that Mel.
What, she was in it as well?
She was in it as well, and the director was attempting to humiliate me into feeling... And Mel wasn't on set at the time.
Right, but they said, what would she do?
Oh, God. What would Mel do? Come on.
That is
channel
awful.
A bit of Mel.
That is awful. And that what was, did you say? Did you say, no, I will do what Anna do does?
Well, brilliantly.
You were so angry, you couldn't say the word. You said, me do what Anna do.
That in those days, Anna, I was a timid little thing. I'd only just started in the industry. I smiled and nodded. But then one of my...
Which is probably what Mel would do, to be fair.
She would have grinned it off.
Lovely Mel.
No, one of the lads said to him, there's another director much more successful than this particular director in question. And he said, I should change the name, shouldn't I? Let's call him Brian. Brian?
Brian.
What would Tristram Shapiro do? That's another director.
The director put in his place there.
He was sort of a bone-headed, thick-skulled gent.
Idiot.
I don't think Dinosaur. A lot went in.
I mean, this is the thing with directors, isn't it? You've worked with many directors. And they,
many.
I always thought they'd know what they were doing. I always find they oscillate between being very arrogant like that and a bit nasty. And being, like, just not that bothered. You know what I mean? So you're either like, yeah, that's fine. And you're thinking, well, I'm not sure it is. Or they're sort of, you know, just trying to get a power trip or whatever. But either way, I'm amazed anything gets made.
It's all down to the edit, isn't it? That's just the thing I've realised. I mean, Anna, if any director ever hears this, darling, he'll never work again.
They don't listen. They can't listen. They're incapable of listening. They can only see and shout. So when did it begin, darling? When does the Anna Crilly story, where does it start?
Talking to actors, trying to understand their process. We're talking to actors, actors, yeah, they rule the world.
Is it Shropshire?
Kent.
Kent, it is Kent. And how old were you when you were born?
I think I was... 14 or 15.
Because you've always struck me as very mature. And I mean that in a way you might say it about a young lady. Not
right.
You look like an old woman.
Have you ever felt sort of... And we've known each other a long time, Anna. I mean, it's...
Too long.
20 years, is it?
20 years! What I wouldn't give for those 20 years back. Would you do it all differently or exactly the same?
What I would have done is I would have enjoyed my youth a bit more. You know, I look at Daisy Edgar Jones, the pretty little thing from Normal People, the Sally Rooney thing.
Right, okay, yeah.
I mean, I look at her and I think she's got it all ahead, hasn't she?
Ugh.
I've never looked like that, but I think there's still time. Like, I think... A dear friend of mine said recently, it's never too late to become Daisy Edgar Jones. And I think now in my mid-40s, that was never truer. I can lose weight.
It's not all about weight, though, is it?
I can stop. No, well, it's a large part.
Do you think age is a big problem?
See,
I didn't get much work when I was young either. If anything, I got a lot less.
For us girls, though, it's different to boys, isn't it? As in
yes,
you and I.
It is, yes.
I noticed a distinct sort of drop-off once I'd born a child from down under.
You had actors drop-off. Now, anyone who's listening who's not an actor might not have heard of actors drop-off. It's very painful, actually.
They start to stick together and...
Yes.
Coagulate.
Yes, and it starts with not getting as many castings. then it's your mind starting to play tricks on you, then your body actually withers like a tree.
Starts to crumble and bits break away.
So yes, let's go back, because we're all over the shop, and I love it. We are chaos, we are fire, we are all those things. But you were born and you grew up in Kent.
Yes, I did.
Did you have any friends?
I was quite a loner, actually.
Oh,
I had a Saturday. Well, I had a Saturday job in a hairdresser.
I thought you were going to say you had a Saturday friend. I had a Saturday friend.
Half a Sunday friend.
Yes, a Sunday brunch friend.
So I worked weekends. Oh. I loved earning money. I loved being able to buy my own stuff.
Oh God, that was good, wasn't it? Did you get a car?
I bought a car when I was 18, and I didn't tell my mother I bought it. I'd saved up. It was £100 in old money, darling.
£100 for a whole car?
Yes.
But the bonnet as well.
It had all the bits.
Oh, of course, you wrote that musical, didn't you? £100 for an old car.
Who will take my bits of a car?
Put them together and you can go far.
I'm surprised you knew it. We only played for a week at the Southwark.
Was it well attended?
Very badly attended. As you know, all of my work is very badly attended.
Yes, well, I think it's because you charge £200 a ticket. I've always thought this. Look, especially when you're just doing a read-through. I always feel it's a bit, you know.
No, people need theatre in their lives. I've often thought during the lockdown period, of course, what people really need is opera.
Opera? Do you know about opera?
I mean, we're just up the road from Glyndebourne.
That's where opera was created.
Created?
In a lab, I believe. But do you like any opera? I mean, what is it? It's big men and women shouting at each other. I mean, I love it.
Isn't it men dressed as women and then the women are men?
No, that's panto, darling.
Oh.
That's a real art form.
Yeah.
So we grew up in Kent. When I say we this time, I mean
No, I liked it. I liked it. I felt a sense of belonging.
We've got to
get out. We've done it together, yeah.
Yes, I feel like I'm with you on this journey in the past. It's one. Oh. We've got to get out of Kent.
We've got
to get out of Kent because we've got to perform. What do? We buy the car.
Well, we buy the car, but the car really doesn't last long.
Not for £100.
No, we train at Middlesex University.
Oh. What was it made you want to act in that? Is that a good question?
That's an excellent and beautifully put. I didn't want to act.
Oh.
I came out of university broken. Broken and destitute. No, not destitute. Just couldn't afford to stay in London. Lots of people from university were all sort of doing these profit shares or tours for no money and staying living in London. And I thought, well, how the hell can you afford to do that? So I went back to Kent.
You went back to Kent, where you worked on your behaviour.
And I worked in casting. I worked in casting for the first 10 years of my real grown-up life.
What was it like being a casting director then? Were you actually in the room doing the casting?
Yes, so I worked for a film casting director, who I won't mention, and some commercial casting directors.
It was Peter Eccles, wasn't it? It was Peter Eccles. It's all right. I know it was.
Has he ever cast you?
Peter Eccles?
Yeah.
He cast me as his own mother, but that was sort of therapy for himself.
Right.
He basically wanted me to go around his house and shout at him. And he came out a lot better for it. And I quite enjoyed it, but I'm still waiting for him to pay me, to be honest. I invoiced him 3 years ago now.
Right.
But so you had some of those conversations we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yes. I was an assistant to a casting director in film. That was the first one I did.
And what's the worst thing he said? What things would you say about people after they've been in?
Oh, no, so I wouldn't. I was too respectful. But we would have lots of, like, Simon Pegg would come to castings, and that woman from Notting Hill in the wheelchair, she used to come in quite a lot. Kelly Brook used to come into the office and sort of wave her boobs around.
Wow.
That was for a general, you know, the term general meeting.
Yes, when you go in and just sort of go, here I am, don't forget about me, guys.
Yeah, so she used to come into the office quite a lot and have
would
a general.
Would she invite in or would she just wander in?
I think she was invited.
Do you want to come in and do that thing with your boobs again?
Yeah, basically. And it was always around sort of 6 p.m. when I was going home. So I'd make her a cup of tea or a cocktail or whatever. Yeah. And then I'd be leaving. So what happened at the general meetings, I'll never know. But I remember once he gave the part to the wrong person.
Oh, fuck.
Which was awful. No, so he'd asked me to take the casting session.
Yes.
Which just in those days, you just turned up with a video camera and you put the tape in. I mean, that's how old I am. Yeah. And it was a big film. I don't know if I can say this because then people might work out who he is. Anyway, it was a film that had vampires in.
Right.
And they lived underground.
Okay.
Okay.
Attack of the Underground Vampires.
Yes, something like that.
I knew I'd get it in the end.
And the part was for one of the underground vampires. And then the director, an Italian man, called and said, after he'd seen the tapes, and said, I want the one who took his top off in the casting. Now, I'd taken the casting and I knew that two of them had ripped their tops off in the casting.
Right.
But my boss, the casting director, hadn't been in the session. And it was the director was Italian and it was all very garbled and he didn't speak great Italian. And so I said to this casting director, so I'm going to make the call. I'm going to phone this guy that's got the part. I'm going to change his life. So he phones up this kid. He's like a really short kid. This is like for a vampire who's terrifying and like ripped and massive and... I was like, you've got the wrong guy. This isn't who the director meant. It's the two guys that rip off their top. And he's like, no, I know who he means. It's the little Italian guy. The little Italian guy, Anna, he was early 20s. He'd moved to London. He had no money. He was working in a bar. He was living in a hostel. He had nothing.
Oh.
And he phoned him and said, hey, kid, I'm going to make you a star.
Oh.
I've just got you a part in a Hollywood film.
Wow.
And so we had to do some paperwork and stuff and sent it over to the production company. And they said, no, this isn't who we meant. And lo and behold, it was the big ripped guy. And my boss made me phone the little Italian guy and say, we've made a mistake. Back to the hostel.
No. This must plague your mind all the time. I think about it all the time. Yeah, I would.
The day that Italian guy thought he'd made it big in Hollywood.
Oh.
For about an hour.
Oh, it was only an hour. So at least he hadn't... No, I'm here. At least he hadn't, like, bought a personal trainer or anything.
It was more than an hour. It was probably, like, more like 2 days, I would have thought.
Oh, God.
Enough time for him to go out and spend any money he had in his wallet, you know.
Mm.
Don't need any of that anymore. It was awful. It was awful.
And what did he say?
He spoke in quite sort of pidgin English and he was just very sweet, very understanding, and obviously, you know, was just waiting for me to get off the phone so he could burst into tears.
Oh!
It's awful. It's awful, Anna.
It's like a call to my therapist.
It's a horrible, horrible industry that we work in.
And really, it was that fellow's arrogance, wasn't it? He couldn't admit he was wrong.
Yes, but also that he wouldn't make the call. He was happy to make the call to say, you've got the job, kid, but made me...
Oh.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers. So join us for Plenty Questions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Despite that, despite the horrors of seeing it from the other side, you still decided to get into the business.
Yeah, I didn't really mean to, though. I sort of thought I'd do a little stand-up course while I was working full-time with my mate Jo Coffey, because she...
Yes, she's a stand-up.
Yeah, she is a stand-up. She's doing really well. Mm. And we just thought, oh, we'll do this funny little stand-up course. It was 3 months every Saturday afternoon. We had an absolute whale of time. And then did the little showcase. And then, you know, it all sort of snowballed from there.
Well, yes, yes, yes. And then, of course, the TV, the theatre. What was
it? All gone now, of course. All dead.
All dead. And they won't be coming back.
They'll not be knocking again. Not at my age.
Well, not in the current climate.
Not in any climate.
Not in any climate.
I'm done. I'm washed up. Dried up.
What was your favourite one, do you think? What was your happiest moment? I mean, because I've never really seen you look like you enjoy any of it. Was there ever a time you thought, oh, I quite like this?
I genuinely can't think of a time that I've gone, oh, yeah, this is... I think probably being told Katie and I had got a series was a pretty much a high point.
Yeah.
But then the process of it after that kind of, I don't know, it wasn't the happiest time. Actually, I think the happiest time were years ago, and you probably were much more famous than we all were then, but back in sort of the early 2000s, we were all doing Edinburgh's, and there was a great bunch of people. There was Colin and Fergus, I don't know if you've heard of them, and Fat Tongue, and Ed Weeks, and Tom Bell, and there was all these sort of, and actually the Edinburgh's were the most fun time, I think. Mm.
It felt like a lot of fun doing those sort of things, because there's not really any responsibility, I suppose, is there?
You don't or pressure.
And people love you. God, they love you.
But there was no pressure, because none of us had, all these sort of younger people getting into comedy now, they all seem to have a sort of a business plan on it.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Have you noticed? But it's almost like they've sort of done a sort of a pitch document on where they want to be in 5 years. They're all so ambitious.
And what sort of T-shirts they're going to wear and how they do their hair and all that. Do you know what I mean? We just used to turn up in whatever, didn't we?
We used to turn up drunk.
Like a shit, drunk. Remember when you drank for your preview with Katie that time? You were on before me and you decided you were going to do the whole thing completely pissed.
How did it go?
Loads of fun. Do not remember this. I think it was only like the third preview or something. And then you got up and just instantly regretted it, both of you. And immediately just felt really self-aware. Like they say, if you're playing drunk, you have to try and pretend you're sober. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And that's what you did. You were kind of like trying to... just looking completely. why did we do this? This isn't
God, how awful. And Anna, do you remember at the theatre that began with an L? Somebody had like a vagina on the wall from a show that was in there.
Yes.
And we were going to do a show on the night when the show was off, and but they'd left the vagina up.
Yes.
And you used to climb out of
through
vagina.
The vagina. That was recreating my birth.
It was incredible.
It wasn't my birth. It was a character's birth, I suppose. But that was a lucky find, wasn't it? But that's a good point, because I didn't go away having the wherewithal to think, that was really funny. I should get someone to make that. I just acted like, oh, well, that was there once. But, you know, we don't edit or practice or learn or grow.
No, but it was more like we don't use other people's ideas. And I think you just thought, oh, well, that was fun, but I literally can't afford my rent this month, so I probably can't afford to get that vagina made.
Can't build a giant vagina. But I don't think it was meant to be a vagina. I think it was sort of a, like a Woman in Black type, someone jumps out at you moment, I think. But I interpreted it as a vagina, which is what life is like, isn't it? You know, you're sitting around, then someone jumps out of you.
you couldn't be more right.
And then that's your career over, you know?
Is your career over?
In many ways, I feel like it's a resurgence. It's just beginning. I've got a theatre in Lewis.
Is that?
It's more of a, well, it's like a theatre, but it's sort of like an outhouse to a church, if you know what I mean. And they were willing to let me come and do a sort of talk about my life. But I have to make it so in the end, I say Jesus is real. But I think that's a good price to pay. So if things are looking up, do you know what I mean? It feels like we're back.
I see. So sort of a deal with Jesus in a way.
It's a deal with the devil, but the devil's Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
Which is actually the first song. It's with the devil, but the devil's Jesus, sticking on the cross, then turn him upside down.
All that's nice. Stuff, you know. That's really nice, yeah.
It's my life story. It's my life story, but told through the point of view of the nun who I walked past once when I was a kid.
That sounds fantastic.
What if that nun then sort of told the story of my life? So they're sort of, so I come on as this nun. Basically, I had to make it religious for them to allow me to have the room.
Fair enough, yeah.
So I do get free rehearsal and there is coffee there. So even if I never do the play, it's kind of worth it just for the amount of coffee I'll get.
And stage time.
And a place to get away from Sue Clinch. We're in lockdown together and it's awful.
Oh, are you?
Oh, God, she's constantly blowing foghorns in my eyes and screaming, you know, it's all your fault and stuff like, she's not well, she's losing it. She's losing it by the day. What are you hoping to do when you come out of lockdown? There was a point, I don't know if you went through this, there was a point where lockdown happened, and I imagine a lot of us had this, where we went, right, we're going to get it together, we're going to sort our brains out, sort our lives out, sort our career out, we're going to edit that Facebook page that we set up 5 years ago. But now all that feels like it's fallen to the wind a bit, doesn't it? And now I'm now scared. It's a bit like when you go to university, like you're saying university. I didn't go, but I've talked to people who did. And they said the first year, loads of fun. Second year, you're like, oh, God, I just want to get on with my life. I've had enough of this. Third year, no, don't make me leave. You see what I mean?
Well,
like lockdown's gone a similar pattern where it's like, right, this happened. We're going to make something about it. Now I'm sick of it. Actually, please don't stop it because I've realised I hate other people.
I can't bear other people and I love the peace and quiet and I love... It's been such a leveller for us actresses, hasn't it, Anna?
Really? We're all in the same boat and the boat
is... Well, no one's working, you know. So you can't look at Saran Jones anymore and think, well, lucky old her, because,
Saran Jones since A Bowl for My Bottom. Sorry, that was a play back in the day.
Early 90s,
actually, but what she did in that play, well, I can't forgive her for that. I'm not going to forgive her for that in a hurry.
No, okay. So
I spent a lot of time on that character.
That was a bad example. I'm sorry, Anna, I didn't...
No, it's all right. Anna, you know, I mean, these names come up. Saran Jones comes up. You can't pretend she just doesn't exist.
She's always up, isn't she? She's so perky. Always so perky and happy and pleased and smiling. And you think, well, yes, if I look like that, perky and smiling, I could probably dress up as a 18th century lesbian.
Yes. Well, maybe you should just get some more perks.
Just get more perky.
Get more perky. A bit more up for it. Just look like you want to fucking do it, Anna. That's the only thing that's holding you back.
No, in all seriousness, what I would like to do when we come out of lockdown is sell the house and buy a farm.
Is that what you're going to do?
Well, that's what I'd like to do. I'll never do it.
With animals? And you'd
Be
willing to kill them yourselves, do you think? Or would it be more...
No, I wouldn't. It wouldn't be for killing. But it would be like a hospital, you know, like...
A hospital? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, how lovely. Oh, so you'd be protecting animals.
Yeah, so I'd lease the land to like a hospice... No, that
horse piss.
A hospital worker, and they would sort of
You'd
look
fill the land with horse piss,
horses and poo, and yeah, and I'd have like a small holding, and we'd all live in the countryside, and that would be my new.
I think that's doable, isn't it?
I think so.
Maybe you could get a tiger or a sloth.
I'd like a sloth, my spirit animal.
They take their time; they don't muck about like a lot of these animals. Like, you know, dolphins mucking
about. They just muck
about. A sloth doesn't bother anyone and it doesn't want anyone to bother it, right?
I think that's fairly accurate, isn't it, Anna?
Yeah, oh, entirely about her, for us.
I feel like you have a bit more energy than that. I don't feel like you're a sloth.
No, I'm not a sloth. What would I be?
A greedy pig.
A greedy bloody pig. There we go. And I'm happy with that, to be honest. When you said about putting the phone down in the casting room, my first thought was that you meant putting it down for them all to see in front of them and pressing record in a sort of a passive-aggressive, like, come on then.
That's, what, like, you what? Record me, I'll record me.
Yes, you know, like... And you have to, you know, if you've ever had to cancel a phone contract, and what they suggest is you say, I'll be recording this call. And then, because they always try and make you stay and they threaten you and all this sort of stuff.
Apparently. Right. Right. But, so the pressing play would be a kind of an act of like, I will record this and I will learn something from it. So even if I don't get this part, I can go home and make myself better.
Well, that would be nice, but I think it's more aggressive than that. It's sort of like, I'm recording this, so if you try anything, I've got evidence.
What's the rudest thing you've ever said in a casting? Like, inadvertently?
Did I ever tell you this is true? I think I was going a bit mad at the time, but it was when I was being auditioned with someone who we both know, as in by a producer. And I suddenly got in my head... Not that I wanted to, but you know when you get a bit of sort of like a sort of Tourette's type, I suppose, isn't it? Not no offense with Tourette's, I'm sure it's very different. But I suddenly got an urge. I just suddenly thought how fun it would be if I started masturbating while he was telling me about the role. And I didn't follow through, but I really thought, you know, like I like to get on stage when someone else is performing. It was that powerful where I thought, I'm going to go, I'm just going to start doing it. Because partly he was so dull, and I just thought, I need to shake this up a bit.
That would have been amazing. Just
it would have, wouldn't it? Just to see.
I can really but you didn't go through with that.
I didn't go through with it. What's the rudest thing ever? I did once say, you know when they start chatting to the other person?
Yeah.
Too much. That's a bit fucking much, isn't it?
Well, as in, like, the other people in the room? Like
the other actor that was going for the part. The other actor that was going for the part. And they start sort of going, oh, darling, lovely to see you. I saw you in so-and-so. You were brilliant. God, you were brilliant. And all this stuff. And then and after a while I went, hello, I am here. me, like this. You know.
You see, I would immediately, if that happened, I would immediately sort of switch off and sulk and absolutely ruin my chances. That would be the conversation that got recorded. What an unpleasant woman.
No, not doing it. Shan't do it. Well, I'll do it, but I won't do it very well.
You've ruined it now.
I think I've done that before. I've sort of gone, all right, I'll do it, but I won't do it very well.
Yeah, fuck you. You won't get anything good out of this. I think there was one fairly recently that was a director who I know doesn't really rate me or like me much. Yeah. Not in a like personal way, but just in a sort of professional way.
just as a performer,
your ability. Really hates my work.
Your ability to do the thing you've spent years owning.
Doubts there's any ability, yeah. And I went in for this casting, which I knew basically what had happened was the casting director had got me in, probably gone through the list of people that they got in for that day, and the director had probably turned around and gone, oh, can't you cancel her? Anyway, I went in anyway, and it was one of those sort of quite sort of, well, I've learnt it, I'm going to make sure it's really good. Yeah. You're going to listen? That sort of attitude, it's terrible. But it's a defence mechanism, isn't it?
Did you get it?
No, so I did it once, and I know it was good. I know it was good. Mm-hmm. Because that, and you'll feel this, Dana. Mm. You know I'm better than I've ever been. Mm. But try and convince the plebs of that. Anyway.
Well, it's like with cults and things like that, isn't it? They don't really want you to be thinking or to have an opinion. They want you to be sort of stupid and young, but instinctive and emotional.
Is that what they want?
Attractive.
All right, okay. Yeah.
As in you know how to look sad and all those things.
Okay.
Convincingly.
The two,
actually, the moment you start losing the parts, the moment you start thinking about it, I think.
Okay.
And also...
That makes me feel better, yeah.
Yeah. I think the best actors are the thickest ones.
Who do we know that's really good but really stupid?
Well, there's Terry Towers, of course, tallest man in the show. Mm. but that's more because of how high up he is.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, because, you know, he's so high up, you don't know whether he's thinking at all. You don't even know whether there's a head there. He's so tall.
You can't see, yeah. Sure.
And Danka Jonathan.
Who always overthinks everything, but doesn't isn't really thinking at all.
No, but I mean, do you think when you're acting, do you become the person, or are you just going, oh God, they're all looking at me?
I'm sort of going, oh God, they're all looking at me.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, do you know what? In a casting, I think, oh God, they're all looking at me. Do I know this? But I'm all right when I'm actually doing the job, which is why I often feel at the end bloody of the brilliant, meeting, right? I could just say, sorry, could you just give me the part and then I'll do it really well?
Honest, I'll be so good. I tell you what, I've got a little footage from Bowl for My Bottom from before Saran Jones. Let me just watch this. It's only it's literally blink and you miss it, but you'll see I can do the job, you know? And then we'll meet again in a few weeks and you'll give me all the money and we'll do costumes and shit, all right? That's what you want to say. Just try it next time. Right, let's make a deal. We're going to try that next time.
What's the thing? If you get to read the part through once and then they say, thank you, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, you feel like saying, oh, right, so have you already cast it? Is there an offer already out?
Yeah. All right, thank you. Yeah, that's enough.
Bye.
Thanks for nothing. What? Imagine if they said that. Thanks for nothing. Or you said, what if you walked out and they said something like, piss off, baldy? That would throw you, wouldn't it? Because you go, well, I'm not even bald. What happened then? Anyway, darling, I think you've got to go. Haven't you? Oh,
just, I've got to sort of regenerate like a sort of a computer character. Well, is that all right?
To Anna. No, that's fine, darling. I've been chatting to wonderful Anna Crilly. She's dripping off now.
All right, bye.
You've been listening to Talking to Actors with Anna Mann, starring Colin Holt, edited by Dan Snellgrove, part of the Great Big Owl family. Please subscribe, review and share. You can find Colin on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook and YouTube. And the same goes for Anna Mann. Just look her up, you'll find it. I'm Sue Clinch. Ta-ra.
GreatBigOwl.com.
I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monk.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic. Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page? It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question. If you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosec.
Available on all your podcast apps.
Just can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.